Entrepreneur, author, and financial consultant Mark Bernstein helps high-performing entrepreneurial business owners create a vision for the future and follow through on their goals and intentions. Ange Honorato is a business growth strategist who blends psychology and business together to create conscious leaders and business owners who impact the world. Founders Forum is a radio show podcast sharing the real stories behind entrepreneurship as founders discover more about themselves while providing valuable lessons and some fun and entertainment for you. Now, here's Mark and Ange.
Should I get back home? I never did that before. I wanted to sing along to my own music because I've never done that before. Anyway, good morning, America. Happy to be here on this cloudy day in Philadelphia. I haven't had to say that for a while because we've had so many sunny Wednesdays for the last several weeks. But we've got a great guest lineup this morning, and let's get right into it. So, you know, every once in a while I pull out some quotes because I'm a collector of quotes. And I was reading one this morning, Ange and Chris, our guest Chris Carr, who I'll introduce in a few minutes. And this is the quote: success is a sum of small efforts repeated day in and day out. So, Ange, what do you make of that one?
Yeah, I love that, you know, and you and I were chatting earlier today about having like an effective morning routine. And that was something I've struggled with over the years. And I think I've understood the importance of doing the small micro things, you know, little micro habits that lead to the bigger successes. And I just think it's been transformational. So I love that quote. And it's a good reminder every day to help me get out of bed and get moving.
So that was Robert Collier, by the way. I know you did a little research into Robert Collier. I know that name, but I can't remember what he's known for.
Yeah, so Robert Collier is, you know, along the lines of Wallace Wattles and, you know, that era of new thought leaders, you know, metaphysical scholars, things of that nature. So, you know, I think he started writing books in the early 1900s, and it's amazing how relevant it still is today. I love it.
He's from the class of Napoleon Hill, I would imagine, too.
Yeah,
for
exactly.
Our second show we'll record today, we're going to talk about Napoleon Hill a little bit. Chris, what do you make of that quote?
Well, I think it's funny how things just keep recycling and coming back again. You know, there's one of the best-selling books right now is Atomic Habits.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone's making it sound like it's the greatest thing since sliced
bread. New, something
but like
new.
You said, yeah. These habits are, you know, what makes the man, what makes the business, what, you know, just what makes things tick. I once heard that, like, a great entrepreneur is judged like, is he absolutely almost bored with his job? And the aspect of it's so repetitious of doing things great, you know, better and better and better, you know, like Chick-fil-A, they didn't want to try to take over the whole world. He just said, I want to make chicken the best possible way we could. And then once he got that down, it was like, it became nuclear.
And there are lines to get in.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing, you know, about not that there aren't new ideas, there's new versions of ideas, but Napoleon Hill in the 1980s, I had a group that studied the law of success. It was like the success Bible. And there isn't too much you hear that's not in there, and that was written in the early 1900s along with Robert Collier and these other people.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing stuff. So all you got to do is get to the basics, and they still apply. Although the basics are changing because of AI, which we're going to talk about today. So let me tell you about Chris Carr. He's the president and CEO of Faratech. He started the company over 22 years ago, and we did the math this morning. That made him 23 years old when he started the business. And he's widely considered an expert in AI technologies, digital marketing, and video production. Chris is the host of actually three podcasts, the Thought Leader Magazine and Digital Marketing Masterclass, along with a newer one, Business Innovations AI. And I think, Chris, I'd like you to give a little plug for those podcasts at some point because I think our listeners will find some interest there. Chris hosts AI workshops around the country, and he helps to walk companies through the rapidly evolving AI space. And we say rapidly evolving, we're not kidding, right?
That's right.
And I also just want to mention that he's finishing up a certification in AI at MIT. We were talking about some of his experiences there, which are kind of fascinating. So with that, Chris, tell us how you got to starting this at 23, because that's an interesting story. And then I want to hear a little bit about how you progressed over the years to where Faratech is today.
Sure. Well, you know, it's kind of we were talking before the show, it's kind of like the familiar road of every artist. Somehow there was like a girl that, you know, was the right, catalyst, right, you know? And so I dated a girl.
Rock stars.
Exactly. Yeah. Dated a girl in college. The Casanova, we broke up. The Casanova that I am thought, hey, you know what? She's an artist. I'm going to put her art online, and that's going to be the missing link, and she'll come running back to my arms and all that stuff. And so I tried to hire somebody. They couldn't do it. Then I tried to hire another company. They couldn't do it. And so I was like, you know, to heck with it. I'll learn programming and try to do it myself. That was about 6 months later, and I barely even remembered the girl anymore, but here I am, like, knee-deep in code and things like that. And, you know, I started building websites, and then from websites...
We were talking about behind every great man, there's a woman rolling her eyes.
That's, yeah. There you go. That's my wife.
And mine. Although, yeah. I have to say it, since we're on the radio, she's also my greatest cheerleader and my greatest eye roller. Yeah. So.
My wife isn't listening, so I can still get away with it.
Got it. So, anyway, let's move on.
You know, then got into web development, and web development was, you know, went from one website to two websites, and then two websites to one employee, and then you multiply that, you know, over time, and, you know, you wake up one day and you have, you know, 22 full-time employees and 50 people with subcontractors. And so I look back at this girl who started this whole mess for me, and she has no idea, like, the kidney stones I have to do when I have payroll. So she's still one.
She's still one. That's pretty, you know? Funny. Well, but you may not have won the war yet, but I know you're fighting the battles for
that's
sure.
Right.
So that's the way it goes.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's talk a little bit about the state of AI. We had, I've told you, we had another guest on who focuses on manufacturing processes is the main thing that he does. And there's so many different aspects to AI. So let's talk about that. Your view of uses of AI, your view of where you think the whole thing's headed, and, you know, the positive and the negative, and, you know, there's all kinds of stuff. So
There's a lot of that. I mean, so my background was, I had a podcast, and the gentleman that came on my podcast in 2020 a gentleman named Paul Roetzer, and Paul had an agency just like mine. I got him on the show. I said, hey, let's talk about your agency. And he's like, evidently you didn't do your research. I sold the agency. I do this thing called artificial intelligence. And so it was an hour-long podcast, and by the time I got done that podcast, this was in 2020. This was like right before COVID. And I just hung up the phone, the podcast, and I said to my business partner, everything is going to change, and it's going to really whack our industry. And transparently, I refuse, after building this business for 20 years, to get rolled by this. So we're, as an organization, we're going to get ahead of it. And I went from being completely afraid of it, which in some days I still am, to...
Who isn't?
Yeah, exactly. To just realizing, you know what, this thing is like a rocket ship. And so I just kind of dove in, and I've been holding on ever since. And what it's done is just it forced me to like kind of learn faster. And...
Like a roller coaster
ride. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And what happened was I started to realize that the more I learned about AI and the more businesses I talked to, we were just radically unprepared for this asteroid that's sort of coming to Earth. Mm-hmm. And ChatGPT, when it rolled out in November, should have been the wake-up call. And some people we're talking about AI all the time, but we're not talking about the ramifications, where it's at, where it's going, and how to be prepared. And that's very concerning to me. And so while I do the lecture and it does help me grow my business, it's also kind of a mission of mercy, just saying, hey, you know what? You as an organization, like, you need to be ahead of this, because this is not going to stop for you.
By the way, this weekend was, you know, flipping channels through movies, and I started watching Up, which I forgot I had seen before. But it's a little like that, looking up at the sky and waiting for the comet to attack, right?
Yeah.
More or less.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, was that Don't Look Up?
Don't Look Up.
I used that in my... in my presentation.
Oh, that's right. You did. That's
yeah.
Right. That's
I mean, this thing's coming towards Earth, and some people are looking at me like, oh my gosh, how do we prepare?
Right.
And others are like, oh, I don't think so.
Right.
I think it'll miss. I'm like, no, it's coming right at us.
So in your presentations, I've seen it, but I'd like for the audience to tell, what do you talk about in the presentation?
Well, you know, I talk obviously where it's at, and I'll just tell you some real quick stories about that. And then I break it down into a couple different things. One is how to leverage what's called large language models. And the most famous one that people know about is called ChatGPT. And that's simply like just using natural language, just talking to a machine and getting outputs. You know, I mean, I know that you have some funny stories about some of the things you did right away, you know, with it. But in my industry, you know, we use it to write content, write blogs, write emails, basically anything that would take cognitive thought. But it goes beyond that. I mean, you can talk to it like it's the smartest intern you've ever had. The second thing we do is we talk about something called, it used to be called Code Interpreter. It's now called ADA, which means Advanced, ADA, Advanced,
Digital?
Yeah, it's analytics. I'm so sorry. I forget the actual term. We call it ADA for so long. But essentially what it is the idea that Code Interpreter and then other spreadsheets that we are going to now have access to, you can talk to the data, meaning you upload a raw data set, a spreadsheet of random things, I guess you would say, and then it imports it, and you can talk to it and just say, hey, read all the data, show me some visualizations, show me some graphs, show me some correlations, show me some causations, and why is this graph going down to the right? That doesn't look like good growth, and it'll say, well, if you do these three things, this is how you can make it go up to the right.
So it's actually like the continuation of the large language models by teaching the large language models.
It is. And it's like having a master's level data analyst right in your pocket.
Yeah.
And then some
it's
things I'll talk
like
to you about.
That's the intelligence part of this, right, Chris? So you've got the data part and you've got the communication. But to me, that's almost now it's actually using intelligence give you output. Amazing.
That's right. And then I talk about two other things. I talk about how multimedia, like we have this thing called Midjourney, which you basically type into it and it creates a picture or a video if you're using Runway. But a lot of people are like, oh, that's so cute. You know, I mean, it's so cool. And they make pictures of cute unicorns and they show their buddies. And I was like, you have no idea what they're going to be doing with this. And I can talk a little bit about that today. And then finally, every company is going to have an AI in their building, in their business. And I want to talk to you about that is coming, that you should be preparing for that, and then how to make sure you don't do it right and avoid doing it in a way that's not responsible, that's going to basically eliminate the people in your office or, you know, to keep humans first.
How to do it right and responsibly.
That's right.
Got it. So where would you like to go from there? Because you just said a lot.
Yeah. You know, well, tell your story about you got onto ChatGPT. What was the first thing you did?
Well, my mother had a 90th birthday this year. We had a party coming up, and everyone was going to speak, and everyone in my family knows I'm going to do it somehow with music. So the pressure was on.
Yeah.
I wasn't coming up with anything. So ChatGPT and I wrote the song together, even gave me the chords, said, what kind of music do you like? And I input, you know, I told the bands I like and the kind of music I play in my band and that kind of thing.
Yep.
And it came out exactly with a chord progression that I knew that was just very easy to put a melody to. And not only that, usually if I write three verses in a song, that's a lot. I had about 10 verses.
Yeah.
And the only complaint about the song when I did it, I cut it down to maybe six. And there was like, did it have to be so great song, but did it have to be so long? And
I
had too many ideas. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. So. Well, you know, Ange, have you used ChatGPT? Have you played around with it?
Yeah, I have to say, I've been using it, you know, kind of daily. I'm so not sophisticated yet, but, you know, in the work that I do, what I'm still using it for is kind of a really glorified wordsmithing or word editor, to be honest. Or, you know, I will create my own content because it's in my mind what I want, and then I'll plug it in and say, write this better, write it more concise, write it, you know, with this tone. And what it comes back with is like, just amazing. And it, so I'm seeing the time savings there. I'm seeing the fact that it makes my jumble of thoughts in my head sound like the actual thought leader that I want to come across as being. And sometimes just, you know, don't have the wherewithal myself to do it. So I'm, you know, using it every day, but I feel like still on the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
But, you know, Chris, one of the things, and we'll maybe lay this question out and then take a break and then come back and really have you dive into it a little bit. But you talked about the fact of, you know, the people chiming in and using and finding a unicorn and you saying you have no idea where this is going. And I think that's something that is still so unknown and such a gray area to people, which is the likeness and the images of people, right? So my sister is in the film industry and obviously we know what's going on there. And, you know, the writer's strike is done, but the actors are still fighting for what's going to happen to their images and their likeness. You know, they can make whole movies now
Yep.
By just a single image of an actor mm-hmm. that was walking down the street, captured in People magazine or something. So how do you, you know, what are your
Elvis
thoughts on
is
that? Going
to be touring soon
story.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's not even.
I mean, that's just scratching the surface.
I mean, right? Post Malone. Was on Joe Rogan, and he was talking about how AI would be in a scenario where it'll generate music that sounds just like me, but it'll read your social media, and it'll change the theme of the song to, oh, you broke up with your boyfriend, and you lost your dog, and it'll have every detail about you and your life, so it'll sound like Post Malone, but it'll be 100% personalized to you. And that
So everyone will be Taylor Swift then, basically.
In theory, yeah. And so that's sort of how I'm circling back to Angie's question. So I was saying, you have no idea where this is coming. So this is a story I tell in my lecture, is that a lot of times people will get on these tools and they'll create a real cute unicorn, and they're like, oh my goodness, that's so cute looking, and it's wonderful that I just said something and it just turned into a picture. But the story I tell is that, you know, my business partner's name's Todd, and he likes golf. And
me too.
Yeah, he likes golf, right? And so as someone who buys golf clubs, one of the things that these generative art things are going to be able to do is it's going to be able to read the content on Todd's phone through what's something called content.ai. And so every ad that Todd will see about golf, you buy from people and companies that you know, like, and trust. Well, who do you think Todd knows, likes, and trusts more than anybody? Himself.
Yes.
And so these ads are going to look, in theory, just like you. Not
so
exactly
it's what
one-to-one
Facebook ads now, except it's taken it two generations further.
Exactly. Yeah. Wow. So that golfer will look like him. It'll know what clothing Todd wears. So it'll be a blue shirt because Todd likes blue. Right. You know, if it's an Asian woman that loves
her kids. I
got
to meet Todd. So far, we're exactly the same.
if it's like an Asian woman who loves her kids, you're going to see iPhone ads, and it's just going to happen to be, you know, an Asian woman with kids
that's
holding an iPhone.
Chris, that's a great place to break. We're going to have a quick sponsor ad, and we'll be back in a minute, 60 seconds, with more of Founders Forum.
Most companies struggle to prove ROI on their marketing because they don't have the time or the expertise. At Ferrotech, our system ensures our clients make data-driven decisions. We provide the strategy and execution to grow their business. Our boutique agency utilizes an innovative, battle-tested process that delivers incredible results. We also couple that with innovative AI technologies to help your company scale and grow effectively and efficiently. Our services include branding, digital marketing, marketing automation, content marketing, paid advertising, analytics, and HubSpot implementation. Our clients include some of the most respected organizations in the world: Rothman Institute, Penn Medicine, Recovery Centers of America, and Philadelphia Insurance Company. We have a 97% client retention, which is a testament to the effectiveness of our approach. Contact us today at info@ferrotech.com.
We are back with Founders Forum with my co-host, Angie Honorato, and our special guest today, Chris Carr of Ferrotech. So, Angie, I think you had a question that we were starting to go down that road before the break.
Yeah, we were talking about the massive opportunity and really maybe the challenge and in some cases the fear of where AI can come in and really kind of just almost take over our lives. And so, you know, Chris, you and I were talking offline also about the question in the back of everybody's mind, or the other question I would say, is this going to take my job? Mm-hmm. Is it going to completely, you know, take away my entire industry, right? So I'm a part of what I do is in executive recruiting, and, you know, AI can very easily post jobs and find candidates and do all of that. So one of the questions I have is, how are you, you're educating and you're a thought leader, but what are you finding in terms of, you know, how do you keep your people engaged? And as you said, keep the humans first before the work. Mm-hmm. And then where are you seeing it changing in terms of what kind of roles are emerging, and how do you reskill people to keep up with the pace of AI and mm-hmm. jobs and all kinds of things of that nature?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it's one that I get all the time. I think one of the first things that I would say is that you are not going to lose your job to AI, but you will probably lose a job to another individual who is using AI if you're not willing to use it. And so what I really preach is that whether you are a company or an individual, this is a tool set you want to be know better than your neighbor, better than, you know, when I say neighbor, I mean literally the person in the cubicle next to you. And so the important thing to do is to know that technology is not going anywhere. In fact, it's just going straight up. And so my recommendation is to upgrade your tool set as an individual, but also as a company, you know, you want to upgrade your, upscale your employees. And you want to be able to make sure that you're teaching them these technologies, because while I do believe there will be a lot of jobs that are eliminated by AI, and I can talk to you about a little bit of those, but a lot of them, what we're going to see is they're going to be augmented or changed, and you're not going to be doing the same job, but you will be doing a job at a different level with a different level of efficiency, all because of these tools. And so to tell you the truth, it's a little bit of the Wild West. We don't entirely know, but I know there are certain sectors, like if you are a coder or if you do, you are a translator, like changing, you know, like translating like languages and stuff, it's going to really whack your industry. I'm in marketing. It's going to hit my industry like, you know, like a sledgehammer. And so, you know, I don't say that glibly. I say that as a person who's in the crosshairs.
So someone who's willing to embrace AI and change with it and perhaps learn new skills around it should be fine in theory, although we don't really know for sure how it's going to apply.
That's right. And if you're not in your own job, at least you'll be, you know, you'll have enough skills to be able to find a job in maybe another space. It's not like you're going to be on the breadlines. You know what I mean?
Yep. Chris, you're a future-looking guy, you're a forward-looking guy. Yep. As you know, I'm in a company, and our slogan is March Forward, so we're always forward-looking. And we get clients who are forward-looking. Mm-hmm. So my question to you is, looking out to the future, so let's talk about 3 years from now, one of my favorite questions we like to ask guests.
Yep.
If this were fall of 2026 and you're looking back on the last 3 years, mm-hmm. what would have to happen to your business? What would have to happen, if you want to, in your personal life, professional life, for you to feel like that was a successful three-year period?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing, and I'm going to keep most of this to AI, is the first thing I would do is that as an individual, I want to do everything I can to know this, to know all the things that I can. I want to know the large language models. I want to know how to use ChatGPT. I want to be able to understand how to talk to my data. And I want to understand how AI can be implemented into my company and how I personally can take advantage of that, because there's going to be a lot of individuals and a lot of companies who are going to do like the ostrich maneuver where they bury their head in the sand, and those people won't be around for long.
I just want to stop you for 1 second. So you're an AI company, is really what you're becoming.
Yeah.
Who is still figuring out how to use AI in your company?
Oh, yeah.
For your own uses as well as your clients' uses.
Every minute. Yeah. I mean, I have AirPods in all the time. I haven't listened to the radio in forever. And I know you're a music guy, and I apologize for that. But
it's fine.
It's changing by the minute.
Yeah.
You know. And while I don't think the average person has to know the idiosyncrasies like I do, because I'm kind of like preaching the Sunday sermon on this, but I do believe that they have to know this and they have to get training. And I don't wait for your employer to give it to you. Like, you probably have to go out on your own time.
Right.
And tool up for this.
Well, as you mentioned earlier, you live, sleep, and breathe AI.
Yep.
So I'm going to ask you a little bit about that. I know you're not listening as much. I know you're reading books, though, so we'll talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
What challenges do you think you face? What obstacles will be in your way of accomplishing your vision of and I'm not sure you finished the vision because I stopped you at learning. But let's finish your vision, and then I'll ask you what obstacles are in the way.
Yeah. And then the next thing you do is just that you want to experiment with these things. In other words, don't wait for the AI industry to pick the Nike of the industry. Meaning, what I mean by that is like the one company to dominate, because there's about five or six companies that all are expected to have like a $1 trillion valuation. And I don't believe it's just going to be one winner. I think it's going to be a combination of maybe four to five major winners. And I'm afraid that people or companies are just waiting way too long to try to let the dust settle. And in the meantime, their competition, if they're using these tools, they are rounding second. It's not like, oh, they're just halfway to first. These tools are rocket fuel. And so if you are a late adopter, even if you catch up, you're not going to catch up nearly as fast. You know, there's an investment expression that says, like, if you invest from age 20 to age 30 and stop, and someone else invests at age 30 forward, it's a very good chance that that individual, just because they started late, won't catch you.
Right.
And in some ways, that could possibly be true for AI. And I say get involved early.
It's like another moon race in a sense.
It's absolutely a moon race, you know. And you as a company, we're a big fish in a very small pond. Let me rephrase that. There are companies out there, like everything from Tesla to Microsoft to Google and things like that, that are making tectonic shifts in how we communicate as a civilization, as a humanity, and it eventually ripples down to us. But keep in mind that these companies have no desire to slow the train down.
Right.
And so it's going to be really important for you to, you know, to do the things that are necessary to keep pace.
Literally a race to Mars as well.
And that's also we don't have a lot of time left, Chris, but you also mentioned that's a good segue into the hoping that people do the right thing. But where do you see regulation or potential regulation playing a part, if at all?
Yep. That's a great question. Just in the real quick version is that I'm pro regulation, but I also believe in what's something called regulation capture. And what I fear is that these big companies are racing to regulations so that they can stop the smaller companies from gaining advantage, because the smaller open source companies have a way of leapfrogging these big companies. And so every time I see regulation, I think it's good for humanity, but I also have this qui bono thing in the back of my mind that's saying these guys aren't just like asking the federal government to put brakes on what they're doing. I think there's a strategy behind it.
Chris, I'm not sure we still finished your vision, but as you were talking about the vision, you talked about the obstacles as well.
Mm-hmm.
Let me jump for a second because we only have about another minute. You mentioned that you're not listening to music. I get it. I understand why. Mm-hmm. And I know that you're reading. What are you reading? Because that might be educational to our listeners too. I'm sure it has to do with AI.
Well, the joke I have is that people say, well, what's the best book you've ever read? I said, well, probably the last one I'm reading.
Right.
I'm reading one now called Genius Makers by Cade Metz. And it basically gives the whole origin on AI from like the early, you know, 60s to the present. And when you look back, you can kind of trace the pieces in reverse, and it really turns the light bulb on. You're like, oh my gosh, I get it. Like, this is what they were planning years ago. And these are the things that you're just not seeing.
Well, you think about it, in the 60s, we saw all kinds of science fiction about robots and space mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. And all this is, we're looking in the rearview mirror at all that already.
Interesting, right?
Right, it is.
Well, the Jetsons had it all figured out back, you know, on Saturday morning cartoons, and we're living that whole world right now. So, well,
look, I always think of, I went to the 1964 World's Fair in General Electric, and they had picture phones, you know, like the Jetsons.
Uh-huh.
Right, it's a big deal. And all those years, I kept saying, where are those picture phones they talked about? And they never really appeared in that in that model.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, our phones are everything, you know. You know, and it's you're carrying everything digital in your pocket, which is, and I'm sure that's until it's implanted in our brains.
Yeah, you know,
flying cars are next.
That's right.
So listen, I think we're about done today, Chris. Thanks so much for being here. It's enlightening. We may have to have you for part two at some point.
That'd be wonderful.
Thank you all for listening today to Founders Forum. Thank you, Ange. Everybody, have a great day. And we'll see you next week.
We hope you enjoyed your time with Founders Forum today and you found value to take with you throughout your day. Join us again next week for another episode of Founders Forum on WWDB Talk Radio and always at the Founders Forum show page at wwdbam.com.